and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And good morning. I want to welcome you here to worship this morning. We're glad you're here with us this beautiful Scottish day. It is cold, it is wet, and it's where I want to be. I mean, we have had days that have been sunny and bright. We've had worship days that have been cold and rainy, and soon enough we'll have worship days that will feel even more miserably cold as the winter sets in upon us. But we're not held back by things like weather. These are the days that we live in. In fact, we are gathered together and we get to feel the warmth of the people around us. We get to feel the warmth of the God who loves us. We get to have the experience of joy as we worship together. So let us seek the warmth of the community that surrounds us as we seek
the warmth of God. There it is. That we can share our love with each other and be surrounded as we worship by the Holy Spirit. So let us gather together and worship a God who loves us, rain or shine. Let us sing together our first hymn, number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. I'd like to invite our scripture reader to come forward now.
The reading this morning is from Acts 12, verses 1 to 11. Acts 12, verses 1 to 11, and can be found on page 163 of the New Testament section. More persecution. About this time, King Herod began to persecute some members of the church. He had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he went on to arrest Peter. This happened during the time of the festival of unleavened bread. After his arrest, Peter was put in jail, where he was handed over to be guarded by four groups of four soldiers each. Herod planned to put him on trial in public after Passover. So Peter was kept in jail, but the people of the church were praying earnestly to God for him. The night before Herod was going to bring him out to the people, Peter was sleeping between two guards. He was tied with two chains, and there were guards on duty at the prison gate. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood there, and a light shone in the cell. The angel shook Peter by the shoulder, woke him up, and said, "Hurry, get up." At once, the chain fell off Peter's hands. Then the angel said, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." Peter did so, and the angel said, "Put your cloak round you and come with me." Peter followed him out of the prison, not knowing, however, if what the angel was doing was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed by the first guard post and then the second, and came at last to the iron gate leading into the city. The gate opened for them by itself, and they went out. They walked down a street, and suddenly the angel left Peter. Then Peter realized what had happened to him and said, "Now I know that it is really true. The Lord sent his angel to rescue me from Herod's power and from everything the Jewish people expected to happen." Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading. We will continue in our service by singing CH4549, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
As we prepare to reflect on our scripture readings, let us first offer up a brief word of prayer. Heavenly God, it is the eternal mystery as to why you gave your Son to us, but it is with great gratitude that we have received him. Help us to receive your word once more this morning, that as we reflect on your scriptures, it would embolden our hearts, secure our faith, and grant us guidance in the days ahead. Bless us as we listen for your holy word once more this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, today's scripture reading is a part of our continuation of our walk through the book of Acts. The rest of the book of Acts is going to be slightly different from what it has been until now. Today's scripture focuses primarily on Peter once more, but we're not going to hear a lot from Peter in the chapters ahead. Acts is now going to begin to focus on Paul and his journey to spread the gospel as far as he can. Today's scripture reading is more than just showcasing the turning of the tide in the narrative, but it is also meant to showcase how the world itself is changing. You may recall a few weeks ago we spoke on Stephen and how he was stoned to death, and after which disciples fled from Jerusalem, save for the apostles, who were untouchable by the Jewish authorities. That safety net is no longer in place. As our scripture reading begins with the story of James, the brother of John, one of the 12, one of Jesus' apostles, being put to death by the sword, which is to say, he was beheaded. This is done by King Herod, who is trying to keep the Jewish authorities and the sort of leading population of Jews appeased in their understanding of scripture and what is right and what is heresy. Now, during our Bible study this week on Tuesday, one of the things that we discussed is actually how this Herod is the third Herod we have met so far. Herod number one tried to kill baby Jesus. That Herod's son tried to kill adult Jesus. And his grandson, this Herod, is now trying to kill Jesus' apostles. It seems a family tradition to try and stop the word of God. Unfortunately for Simon Peter, he is captured by this Herod, who intends to have him killed after the Passover. Now you may recall, Passover is an important date. It happens relatively the same time every year, which means we're about 1 year out from the day that Jesus was betrayed and died. Or maybe we're 2 years out. It's unclear how much time passes in the book of Acts between paragraphs and sentences, but what is clear is that at least 1 year has passed, and Simon is scheduled to be executed on the same day that his Savior was. Jesus constituted communion on the night of Passover and died the following day. Peter is also slated to die on that same day when something incredible happens. Peter is sleeping between two soldiers, bound by chains, when suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and light shines in the cell. But Peter is a deep sleeper and does not wake. Now, in the scripture we hear that Peter is sort of shaken awake by the angel, but that's not quite a literal translation of what is said. We are told that the angel strikes Peter on his side, smacks him. Get up! We have to go now! Come on! And so he smacks Peter, wakes him up, and as the angel speaks, the chains fall off of Peter's wrists. Then the angel commands him to get up, to put on his clothes, to put on his sandals, to put on his cloak, and prepare to leave. The angel then leads Peter out of prison. And Peter is walking by multiple sets of guards before he arrives at the iron gate that is leading into the city, when this enormous gate opens all by itself. And the whole time this is happening, Peter is unsure if it's really happening, or maybe he's having a very vivid vision. When, as they enter into the city, they turn to walk down one of the streets, and the angel of the Lord is gone. And Peter suddenly realizes he is alone in the city in the middle of the night. This is a story where we see the true power of God on display in many ways. The chains fall off on their own. The angel either shields Peter from the eyes of the guards or puts them to sleep, and even opens the enormous city gates without laying a single finger upon it. We have automatic doors in the modern day, so maybe we're a little less impressed by a door that opens by itself. But these large city gates would have been difficult to open even with automatic help. This is a story that shows us just how incredible God truly is. And it also showcases the incredible power of prayer. Because we are told at the very beginning of the scripture that the church is praying earnestly and fervently to God on Peter's behalf. God does listen to prayers. God does answer prayers. But not every prayer is answered for reasons we can truly never know. Because I'm sure that the early church was also praying fervently and earnestly for James, the brother of John, as well, who was put to death. There are times in our own lives where we have experienced the defeat of an earnest prayer unanswered, where we have suffered a blow to our faith and our trust in God because our prayer has not been answered in the way that we had hoped it would be. And sometimes I fear that when we focus too much on the times when God does not answer our prayers, it can become all too easy to believe that God never answers prayers. And that's simply untrue. God just doesn't always answer the ones that we would have preferred to be answered. Let me give you an example of this. When we were living in Kinross, we were helping out with a lot of the youth ministry, and we were beginning to do a youth group after church where we would have lunch, talk about a Bible story, and play some games. And at one such youth group, we went to visit a church member's house, and they had these lovely windows that went all the way up the wall in their sort of living room kitchen space. And it was miserable. It was raining, it was cloudy, no one was going to get to play in the garden. And so we sat down to have our meal, and as always, I prayed. And I prayed thanking God for the beautiful weather and the sunshine. And yes, maybe I was being a little cheeky or a little snarky, but God gave it right back to me, because almost the very moment I said the words amen, the clouds just went whew, and the sun came through those windows and illuminated our table and then illuminated the rest of the room. And everyone looked around in amazement that the sun had come out. And I sat there, and it took all of my willpower not to say what I was thinking out loud. Really? Really, this is the prayer that you choose to answer? This is the one? Come on! I don't think I'll ever understand why God chooses to answer some prayers in such clear, invisible ways, and to answer others in a way that we cannot see or understand. It can be very flustering to have your prayer answered in such a way. But I think that there are lots of prayers that we do pray earnestly, but are answered in a way that we cannot see or understand. Because there have been moments in my life where I have experienced the presence of God and I have forgotten about it. There are moments when I have offered up prayers and I have been fully shocked to see them answered. I couldn't believe that my prayers so swiftly summoned the sunshine. And the early church couldn't believe that their prayers saved Peter. Because as the story continues, Peter runs through the streets to the home of his friends, and Rhoda, the housemaid, meets him at the gate. And she's so excited that Peter is alive that she forgets to unbar the door. And she rushes back to the house and she says, "Peter's alive!" And the response from the early church is really lackluster. They say, "Oh, Rhoda, that's not Peter, that's his angel." "What do you mean that's not Peter? You haven't gone to check. You're literally praying for this." And so after a few minutes of Peter still pounding on the door and back and forth, someone finally goes and actually checks with her. And sure enough, Peter's at the door. They let him in. They're celebrating. And he lets them know that he's alive, but he must flee into the night. And so he moves on into the darkness. Even the early believers, some of whom had met Jesus, all of whom had met the apostles and seen their incredible power, did not believe that their prayers were going to be answered. And sometimes I worry that even though we take the time to pray, what we're praying are defeated prayers. We pray believing that God is not listening. We pray believing that nothing is going to happen or change. As my father would say, we are snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. It is all too easy to give in to despair and believe that God is not listening. But after reading our scripture story today, I think we should put just a little bit more trust that our prayers are being heard. A little more faith that God is listening, and that maybe our prayers are being answered in ways that we cannot see, we cannot believe, or we simply do not understand. I hope that today you will put a little more trust in your prayers. Because God does answer prayers, just not always in the way that we hoped they would be. Such as praying to win the lottery and winning £4. Technically, that is a prayer answered, I suppose. It's not what I had in mind, but here we are. We should remember that if we pray earnestly and fervently as the early church did, our Father in heaven, who loves us and treasures us dearly, will hear what we have to say. It is up to us to keep our eyes and ears open to see if we can recognize when God has answered our prayers. If we can see the Holy Spirit at work in the world around us. So let us remember to pray earnestly and often, and trust that God will help us whether we can see it or not, and that even prayers we did not expect to be answered can be answered. So continue to pray for others, continue to pray for your church, and continue to pray for yourself, trusting that God is listening. This is the good news of our scripture reading today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, we know that sometimes it feels as though you are not listening to our prayers, but we cannot see the world in the way that you do. Help us to understand when our prayers are answered and when our prayers are maybe on hold. Grant us the confidence to continue to pray even when we cannot see the outcome of our prayers, to trust that you are still listening to us, and that sometimes listening is a blessing all on its own. Bless us with the courage to continue to pray and trust in you for all our days, trusting in the goodness and mercy of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Friends, let us bring our time of worship to a close by singing our final hymn together, number 561, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Friends, whether it is you depart after our final amens or a time of fellowship spent together, take with you this charge of benediction when you go. Friends, we have heard in our scriptures today that indeed God does answer our earnest prayers. We must trust in our Lord who loves us, that not all prayers are answered in ways that we can see or even believe. But know that God is listening and wants us to pray. So let us trust in our Lord this day and always. And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us.
always.